Amazing, isn't it, how we just do things by hand? The candle's always there, isn't it? purpose statement of our congregation, and we hear them every week, but it's always good for us to hear them and to actually think about what they say. Loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. I didn't have any notices given to me this morning particularly, so please read what is in the cue sheet and write into your diary anything that you need to do. And please take note of the people that we are praying for and keep those, we'll keep those people in our hearts throughout the next week. We acknowledge that we are on the land of the Wadawurrung people and we pay our respects to the elders, past, present, and those who will lead their people and us into the future. Let us now just take a moment to kind of unscramble our minds, to sit quietly and wait on God as we enter our time of worship.
Good morning, Senator Keyser.
Our call to worship this morning will be responsive. I think I'll move the door so you can see the words clearer.
The first time this morning, the door's been moved.
Praise the Lord, all the wonderful instruments of music.
That's the sound of music, the powerful way to praise God for all God's blessings.
Let all the earth be filled with God's praise.
Let the towns, villages, the cities and countryside ring with God's praise.
Let us worship God. Let us pray. Breathe the breath of new life into us, O Lord, that we may fully feel the power of your love and the awesome glory of the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Prepare us to receive your blessing and then to go from this place before God with our prayers of confession. So let us pray. We confess that we far too often want proof for everything, O Lord. We want proof that someone loves us. We want proof that we can trust in others. We want proof that everything in life is going to turn out all right. It is easy for us to point our finger at Thomas, who was honest about his yearning to encounter the risen Christ like other disciples. He had seen so much healing and hope, but those hopes seemed dashed when Jesus died. Even the news of the resurrection did not completely lift the darkness from his life. Jesus said to him, as he says to us today, "Peace. Still, do not doubt, but believe." Lord, forgive our unbelief. Forgive the many times when we think and act in ways which are hurtful and mean. Heal our wounds. Bind up our spirit and the cord of your compassion. Help us to fully place our trust in you with our whole heart, mind, and spirit, as well as our souls. For we ask this in your blessed name. Hear the words of assurance. Peace, be still. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus came to bring you new life. Believe in him. Receive the blessing of hope, of peace, and forgiveness.
Thanks be to God.
Today for early word, we are going to hear the chaplain from the assembly video around Anzac, as Anzac will be tomorrow. So let's listen and hear both the reflection and prayer for us this morning.
G'day. Welcome to All Saints Chapel on Leverack Barracks in Townsville. My name is John Dancy and I'm an Army Chaplain and Uniting Church Minister in North Queensland. If you walk around most military bases, eventually you'll come across a memorial. Sometimes it's in the shape of a cross. Sometimes it's a wall or a plinth. Often it's a huge rock with a plaque on it, and usually an inscription with some names. Here at All Saints Chapel, the building is flanked by two memorials. On the right-hand side, we have a replica of the Long Tan Cross from Vietnam. On the left-hand side, we have a memorial garden which contains seven plinths. Each plinth has a series of plaques, and each plaque helps us to remember an officer or soldier who was killed while posted to Leverack Barracks. As I look around the community, I see a people that order their lives around different things. For some, it's the seasons: summer, autumn, winter, spring. Or up here, wet and dry. For some, it's school terms and school holidays. For others, it's how close it is to Friday, while others hang out for payday, And yet we as a church are called to be different. We order our lives around remembering, and we order our year around remembering key events of Jesus' life. At Christmas, we remember his birth. At Easter, we remember his death and resurrection and the ascension. Then we celebrate Pentecost, the birth of the church and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps it's this distinctive way of remembering and approaching life that led Returned Army Chaplain to be the driving force in establishing Anzac Day commemorations to remember and honour that sacrifice. As our population becomes less religious, as Anzac Day becomes more of a civic observance, the church still has an important role to play. We can still remember the sacrifice of our forefathers and our foremothers. We can still lament the horrors of war, but we should also tell of the hope that we have as Christians that one day we will be able to live in peace with each other. I love what it says at the end of Psalm 46. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. If you choose to commemorate Anzac Day in some way this year, as well as honouring and remembering the sacrifice of those who were killed in war and on operations, can I challenge you as well to be a people of hope and a people who work for peace, not just in the community, but who work for peace in the wider world as well.
Lord God, help us to remember the sacrifice of the first Anzacs, the generations of men, women and children who have died in the cause of peace. Help us to remember those who bear the scars of their service, physical, mental and spiritual. Help us to remember those who had to say goodbye, widows and widowers, girlfriends and boyfriends, parents and orphans, sisters and brothers, and all who anxiously waited with no reply. Save us from ever glorifying war and its horrors and tragedies. As the sun rises on this day, Lord, help us to remember. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reading this morning from both Acts and from John. Reading from Acts is part of a rather long chapter. The apostles have been out and about doing what Jesus asked them to do. They've been thrown into jail and escaped. An angel, according to the story, helped them to escape. Instead of running away, they went back to the temple and began their teaching, so they were put into jail again and brought before the council. And they brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you have killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and saviour, so that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." secondly from John, and this is the appearance of Jesus to the disciples as they were gathered, fearful for their own lives. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And Thomas, who was the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing in him, you may have life.
Thanks.
written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Last week we heard the resurrection story of Jesus going to the tomb and discovering it was empty. In her investigation, even after seeing the empty tomb, it wasn't until she heard her name that she recognized the risen Lord and became the first apostle commissioned to go and tell the disciples. And she joyfully went and proclaimed to the many, or to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Today's gospel reading is a continuation of that same first day experience. It's divided into two parts, but this time it's evening of the first day. And the doors are bolted, locked, and we're told in fear of the Jewish leaders. In these resurrection stories, Jesus' appearance carries with it marks of revelation, of commissioning, as well as empowerment. In both scenes in today's gospel reading, a week apart, we hear that Jesus comes and stands amongst the disciples. He offers them peace. How lovely to hear such words when you're so crippled with fear. Peace be with you. Then we're told that he showed his wounded body. And of course, in response to that, we're told that the disciples were overjoyed of encountering the risen Lord. In John's Gospel, we're also told that there is a commissioning happening. Because here, Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now go and tell. Forgiveness also is embodied in this message of good news. And when Thomas came home, they said, we have seen the Lord. It's a story of a young boy. One night, the house caught fire, and the young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below and outstretched his arms and called out to his son, jump, jump, I'll catch you. He knew the boy had to jump to save his life. All the boy could see, however, was flame, smoke, and blackness. As you can imagine, he was afraid of leaving the roof. But his father kept yelling, jump, son, I can catch you. But the boy protested, Daddy, but I can't see you. Father replied, times I hear preachers dwelling on that, Thomas the Doubter. But as I read this gospel again, I thought, actually, he was actually a courageous man. When everyone was so locked out of fear, he took risks and went out. Maybe he was there to purchase some food for the disciples, or maybe he was curious to know what the talk in the street was. But he left the other disciples in closed doors and went out. He took risks. But he, like Mary and the other disciples, also yearned to see for himself. He wanted to really experience that encounter. He wanted to hear the risen Lord and to see the scars. Sometimes I feel in this society we live in, with our scientific mind, we're no different from Thomas. And being inquisitive is important in our faith-seeking understanding. There's no point just sitting there and goes, so-and-so said this, so yes, I believe. Many of you may say, okay, but what about this? Have you ever thought of this? There's a lot of questioning in our minds. And that's okay, because it's through these questions and our inquiring mind that new opportunities arise. New experience and encounters become a reality. I always say that it's difficult to proclaim the good news of the risen Lord if we haven't experienced the risen Lord ourselves, or if we haven't encountered the risen Lord ourselves. For many of these disciples in this resurrection story, God revealed through Christ to them. So there's this personal element to their faith journey. And that gives us courage, because it's not just us proclaiming Christ has risen or we have seen the Lord, because we too have experienced God's love, that we are able to proclaim the risen Lord. We too have experienced God's forgiveness, so therefore we can proclaim forgiveness for all. As a church, God continues to reveal God's self to us, either through our personal reflection and reading and studying of Scripture. Sometimes it's through the revelation that we see in creation, or it's just an act of friendliness, of welcoming, or forgiveness by others that we experience that resurrected Christ in our lives. So it's important to be able to see and hear the voice of Christ in us, to continue to empower us and in our calling to go out and proclaim who Christ is for us. it's important too that in the commission, like Pentecost experience, Jesus breathes life into the disciples. They were able to go out and witness because they went with the Spirit of God. And it's also important as a mission of the church is that we are not alone, that we have been empowered as the Father has sent me. Jesus says, I now send you to tell others about what God is doing in your life. I'm going to invite you to go into groups of four or five, and I want you to ponder on the question. I'd like you to share an experience of feeling trapped behind closed or locked doors. But then also share an experience of resurrection as relationship. As we see and hear in the Acts reading, this boldness to speak the truth of who Christ is for the disciples. So, can you move into groups of four or five and share your own experience of being trapped behind closed doors? What are your reasons for that? But also, this resurrection in relationship, as we heard from the Acts reading, the boldness to witness to the resurrected Christ.
And I know who it's coming from. And this one is, when it was the piano, it didn't really start working until it was up this morning. So she's all right, Kamakisa, but the lectern,
it is the lectern. It's got a real hammer in it.
So I don't know why that is. Because there's nothing, I normally switch everything else off around it.
I'm not sure. It's on I'm sort of sitting right under it, so I'm very aware of it. And I just wondered what it was.
Yeah, and if I put it up in a high way, then it starts to hum like quite loudly.
Yeah.
And Jan's quite fond of this book.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about changing your employment after 30 years or plus and not knowing what you're going to do and then going to university with all these young people was quite a challenge, but they didn't doubt me and the family don't doubt you.
The group,
Helen's
group?
Thank you.
as we continue our journey through Easter, resurrection reminds us that we are not alone, that we have been empowered through the breathing of the Holy Spirit to go out and be courageous witnesses of God's love, of God's justice.
We believe in God, sovereign in grace and love, maker of all things. We believe in Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, the firstborn of a new creation. We believe in God's eternal Spirit, pledge and foretaste of the future, given that we may not lose the way, who has endowed us with the diversity of gifts. We are a pilgrim people on the way to the promised goal. On this way, we are called to live and work within the faith and unity of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. In this unity, we offer our worship, witness, and service, and receive one another in love and joy. We are being led to the free obedience of the children of God. And so we look with yearning and hope to the final reconciliation of humanity with God and the renewal of all creation. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you.
to all pray for ourselves, that your Easter gift of the risen Lord will keep hope in our hearts in a world that is in turmoil. God, we don't understand war. The killing and maiming of people, the crippling of cities and of economies. We don't understand. And yet we know that within the horror of the crucifixion and all that led to that moment, you kept hope alive. Many times it was very faint hope. And at the time of Jesus, it seemed there could be no hope. But because of your deep and infinite love, those closest to Jesus experienced the wondrous hope brought about through the risen Christ. And so it is with this Easter hope that we bring our prayers. As we remember our own service men and women who have fought in wars both in our lifetime and before, we pray for the people of Ukraine, those fighting against a mighty and dangerous foe, those holed up in Mariupol and other cities, and those fleeing their homes and homeland. We don't know what the eventual outcome will be. But please, O God, through your Holy Spirit, help us to keep the Easter hope alive and respond in ways open to us. We pray for the people of Afghanistan, whose hopes of freedom from the oppressive Taliban rule have been dashed. We don't know what the future for these people will be, but please, O God, through your Holy Spirit, help us to keep the Easter hope alive and respond in ways open to us. We pray for the many other areas of the world where there is fighting, such as Yemen, South Sudan, Israel, Palestine. We don't know what the future of these people will be, but please, O God, through your Holy Spirit, help us to keep the Easter hope alive and respond in ways open to us. We pray for the millions of refugees who have fled or are fleeing their homelands, away from the danger and the horror. So many, and yet made so unwelcome in many of the richer countries of the world. We don't know what the future of these people will be, but please, O God, through your Holy Spirit, help us to keep the Easter hope alive and respond in ways open to us. We pray for our own country in the lead up to federal elections. Help us to be listening, discerning, and observing, measuring rhetoric against reality. We don't know what the future of this country will be, O God, but through your Holy Spirit, please help us to keep the Easter hope alive and to respond in ways open to us. Now, loving God, we take this deep moment for our personal prayers, those things that we are holding closely in our hearts. These prayers we bring to you, Holy God, in the knowledge that you hear, and in your own time and way, you bring your answers, often in the most surprising ways, and also with infinite love. And now we pray together.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Bring hope to those who are in despair. Live lives of gratitude and praise. And may the love of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, and the ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit